Syndergaard fires. And that one is down and in. Did he just throw him out of the game?
Yes, he did. Noah Syndergaard just got tossed.
Oh, my goodness. So on a fastball down at his feet, Adam Jomari just threw Noah Syndergaard out of the game. And Jerry Collins is going to get thrown out here.
I think a warning might have sufficed before a total ejection. But, I mean, not much I can do about it now.
Joe Davis on the call on Fox there. The Mets and Dodgers going at it in New York this weekend.
No disrespect to Joe Davis, but it would have been a better call if Wayne Randazzo was making that call.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he's on the line, so I'm going to suck up to him.
Oh, that's right. Wayne is on the line. Hey, Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
What's up, guys?
Wayne Randazzo is the Mets pre and post host and does some play-by-play on WOR 710 in New York. And the White Sox, who are... Well, they're struggling. They're headed your way tomorrow, Wayne. And I know you got a night game tonight against the Dodgers to close out that series before the Dodgers come here to Chicago to face the Cubs tomorrow. So wanted to get you on, and thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you guys. A crossing of paths, definitely, with all the Chicago teams and the Mets playing the White Sox this week. Should be an interesting series, especially for the Mets when they think about Matt Harvey and the season he's had so far, and if he can turn things around against the White Sox offense.
What's happened to Matt Harvey?
Yeah, let's start there. What is going on with him?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think that there's the first issue that he threw more innings last year than any pitcher in history coming back from Tommy John surgery, and there might be a bit of a hangover coming back from that. I think there are mechanical issues that the Mets have been working tirelessly to figure out, even have Harvey on the pitcher's mound here at Citi Field in between his last two starts, including this one tomorrow. And I think he's mentally beat up, too, by the fact that he was kind of the star here. He's the one who gets, you know, the most ink in the newspapers when something is good or bad. And I think he kind of got put through the ringer here from the end of spring training when he had a bladder infection that some of the tabloid newspapers in New York made comic relief out of. And it went on and on, and I think it just continued to manifest into some mental problems, too, for Harvey. So I think it's just kind of the perfect storm of things that have gone wrong for him so far, and it's resulted in a 3-7 record and an ERA over 6.
Can you remember the best headline around that that the tabloids came up with along the bladder infection line?
Well, I'm sure if you looked back and flipped through that week's worth, the New York Daily News did a number on Harvey that week, so I'm sure you can even rank them. There were so many that week.
Okay, I'm going into Google mode, Adam. Continue.
I'm sure you'll find it. I'm sure you'll find it. Wayne, where did the... I think just looking ahead here a little bit, we'll talk about the Sox-Mets series in a moment, but I think a lot of Cubs fans here in Chicago, understandably because they got swept out of the playoffs by the Mets last year, kind of are comparing themselves to the Mets throughout this season. And right now, I think the Cubs are on a crazy level, and they're on pace to win 114 games right now as we're at it. But how do the Mets stack up? Where are they compared to where they were last October when they swept the Cubs? And I guess what's more important, and I know you can't tell the future, but how do they project as a team right now headed towards the playoffs again if for some reason those two teams were to line up and face each other again?
Well, I think the Mets are trying to get back to where they were at the end of last season. From the time they got Yoenis Cespedes all the way through the postseason, the Mets were several games above 500 and really played their best ball in the last 2 months of the regular season in through October. So they want to get back to that, but I think that they're taking it all in stride. They're trying to make sure David Wright can play a full season, which he may not be able to because of his back. They're trying to get Matt Harvey on track, as we talked about. And even Jacob deGrom, we haven't quite seen the same velocity from deGrom we saw last year. The same command hasn't been there for deGrom. So I think there's some nagging issues the Mets are going to take time to correct here over the next few months. I mean, they're trying to win a division, too. I think the Mets are going to be locked in a much tighter battle with Washington than what they were last year. The Nationals kind of folded last season, had a lot of injury issues on top of it. But Washington feels like they're going to be in it until the end. I think the Mets expect them to be. So it'll be interesting to see if the Mets do make the postseason, if they have to be a wild card team, or if they do end up winning the National League East. But, you know, I think also when you look at the National League playoff teams last year, the Mets had the worst record of all five teams. So they feel like, you know, once you get into October, they have the pitching staff with Syndergaard being outstanding this year, with Mats, with DeGrom, and hopefully with Matt Harvey, too, to complete. Even Zach Wheeler could be a factor by then. Wheeler's expected back in July. So they feel like the pitching will still carry them in October like it did, and the Mets have been a very home-run-heavy team. They've hit 70 home runs this year to lead the majors. So they expect, if it does come down to October baseball, that their power, pitching, and hitting will carry them.
Some of the headlines, you're in luck. Whiz kid, now he's a reliever. Field of streams, you gotta relieve. I mean, this is
some of your best material, Carm. You should at least slow down and pace yourself.
Yeah, well,
you give them all at once.
I feel like, you know, you got a game to do, and I should let them land. You're right. You're absolutely right, Wayne. They all deserve a pause. I want to go inside the Wayne Randazzo, if I may. Here, did you grow up a Cub fan?
I grew up in the Chicago area and loved baseball.
Scott, I knew this was going to be hard to pin down.
Wayne is a professional. You have to understand.
I understand that, and I'm not. So that's why I ask slightly unprofessional questions.
I'll tell you this. It was bizarre to be at Wrigley Field for the National League Championship Series last year and for the Mets to clinch the pennant there. I mean, obviously, I spent a lot of time there growing up as a kid, so it was a weird place to be to see the Mets win the National League title and celebrate going to the World Series.
And that's where we're going here. I mean, how conflicted were you? I mean, sitting there, like if it was me and I was living the dream of Wayne Randazzo and I was doing pre and post for the Mets and I had grown up, you know, and he didn't say this, I'm just saying, if it was me and I had grown up a Cub fan and here I am with the Mets, but it's like, but they're my employer, and I've been around them all year long, and I'm sure I've bonded and created some love. I don't know if I can handle it. It would be that's a bizarre spot.
It wasn't as hard as you think it would be. You really kind of lose, you know. And Adam knows this. I'm sure covering the Bears is like a blanket, like he has for the last several years. You lose some of that as you go along, and you're
especially that team.
See how the sausage gets made. You know, any team, I think, that you're covering, or any sport you're covering the way that we do every single day, I think you just kind of, you're a fan of the game, you're a fan of watching these players do what they do and seeing the great dramatic moments, but I think your actual fandom of an individual team kind of disappears.
Yeah, and I was in, Carm, I was in a similar spot last year with Northwestern at Wisconsin, where I went to school, and their games coming down to the final seconds three times at the goal line. It's what you do, and you're able to put it.
But deep down,
the professionals are able to put it aside, Mark Carmen.
Well, that's fine. I believe that to a point. I just I'm striving to be a professional in some level, but on that level, like I got to be realistic.
No, who keep that innocence. I think that's a good thing, and I think that you should hang on to that as long as you can.
Thank you, Wayne. I can tell you this from your time on Northwestern, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you were just about to ask me who I was rooting
for.
Yeah,
who were you rooting?
Which goes exactly to the unprofessional questions that you come up with.
Well, what's the answer?
I was just trying to tell Dave Bennett what exactly happened in the end zone as Jazz PV apparently didn't catch a ball that looked like he totally caught the ball, and instead Northwestern won the game.
When I was at the University of Iowa and they were playing Northwestern, I was rooting for the Cats. I was a student and I was rooting for the Cats. So that's not the same thing, but that's just, you know, I'm just telling you my heart is stronger than my head. Wayne, are the Mets going to, if the Mets played the Cubs right now, who's the better team? Because I think everybody is like already crowning the Cubs, but I have long memory of last year and not even being in the series. Like, I feel like the Cubs, after game one, it was basically over.
It's a long season, and there's a long way from October. And, yeah, the Cubs have played 48 games so far, and they're the best team in baseball right now. I don't think there's any debate about that on this day, on the eve of Memorial Day, the Chicago Cubs are the best team in Major League Baseball. But, you know, even if they do win 115 games and they go to the playoffs as the clear number one seed, it doesn't matter. I mean, when you start in October, it's all reset. It's 0-0. The Mets last year, didn't expect to beat the Dodgers the way they did. They faced Kershaw and Greinke twice each in a five-game series and won that series. And I think that really was what really catapulted them against the Cubs. They had no fear at that point. The Cubs had Jake Arrieta, certainly after his unbelievable second half. But outside of that, the Mets weren't afraid of any of the Cubs starting pitchers at that point after going through what they went through in the National League Division Series. So it changes, you know, from day to day, from series to series. The Mets know that they can win the World Series this year. So do the Cubs, and I think they're both right. But it comes down to a lot of breaks, a lot of things that go your way over the course of a long season. And who knows? The Mets were 0-7 against the Cubs last year in the regular season. So it just goes to show that what you see right now does not exactly paint what's going to happen in October.
That was so Cub-like. You swept them in the regular season. You did beat them once in the playoffs.
Well, I think the Cubs, too, you know, they've got so many different players in that clubhouse with Zobrist and Hayward and Lackey, guys who won in October.
Yep.
I think they'll be a little different. I think those guys were a little wide-eyed in October last year, especially as the stage got bigger. And all of a sudden, you weren't facing the Pirates and Cardinals, the two teams you'd faced all season long. You're facing the Mets and a team that also had a pretty good idea of what they were doing out there. And I think the Cubs were a little shell-shocked by what happened to them in the NLCS.
And Arrieta was clearly gassed.
That's true. And, I was listening to Theo talk about it last year. He said that the Mets pitched the Cubs backwards, which is incredibly hard to do, but that's what they did. I don't know if you have knowledge on that, Wayne, but and I feel like there's a Chris Bryant driving around who just heard you say that he was awestruck by the Mets and he wants to hurt you.
Well, Chris is a lovely man, so I don't think that he wants to hurt anybody. He's a pretty nice guy. But
that's true.
I think that I'm not afraid of that, Chris Bryant. I think the Mets should be afraid that Chris Bryant might hit 10 home runs against them this year, which he very well could. So we'll see. I think that with the Mets, you know, when you think about them having been there last year, like the Cubs, I think that if they do meet again in the championship series or even in the division series, I think fans would love to see it on both ends. I think that there's a little bit of a rivalry brooding. They don't get to see each other very often. And even this year, they play their season series in a matter of 3 weeks against one another. So it'll be a quick jaunt in July between these two teams, and then they'll move on and hopefully to play one another again in October. I think the Cubs have done things the right way. I think the Mets have too. And I think the Mets feel like they can beat anybody in a short series and get back to the World Series.
Last thing for you, Wayne, is we talked to Wayne Randazzo, who does pre and post for the New York Mets. All right, so it's Jose Quintana versus Matt Harvey tomorrow. Matinee game at Citi Field on Memorial Day. The White Sox are 4-14 in their last 18 games. They've lost 6 in a row. They lost 3 absolute heartbreakers.
They lost with Chris Sale on the mound today.
Was supposed to be the stopper. Although you look at this pitching matchup, and Quintana's still been pretty good this year, and Matt Harvey's obviously been slumping, I don't know what to say anymore about the White Sox bullpen. It's awful. But I guess what are you looking for tomorrow in this game?
Well, I think Quintana will be tough on the Mets, and the Mets have struggled against left-handed starters all season long, except for Urias the other night, the 19-year-old rookie for the Dodgers. The Mets got him pretty good, but otherwise, lefties have been tough on them. They're facing Kershaw tonight. I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea how that's going to go. Mets hoping just to scratch home a run or two and stay in the game. So it'll be a good day for the White Sox pitching, I think, at least from the starting end, that Jose Quintana is going to be on the mound. And the Mets will have played a late game tonight. Even if it's a normal game time, they're not going to get out of here until close to midnight local time tonight with the late start. So I think the White Sox should come in freshened up. This is a place where Robin Ventura is appreciated still. I don't know if he's appreciated back home in Chicago, but I think in New York there's still a lot of love for Robin Ventura for his time as a member of the Mets and of the Yankees too, but especially here at Citi Field, I think the fans will be happy to see Robin again.
Wayne, congrats on your success, man, and appreciate you being a good sport today with us, or me specifically.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne. Good to talk to you again.
You want me to read these headlines again? The New York Post is just—they're just so good.
They do good. Yeah, go through
the New York Daily News. You're in luck. News leak: Matt has bladder infection. Can go an opener. Whiz kid. Now he's a reliever. Swing and not miss. I don't know if I could say that on the air.
Yeah, so. I don't think you can.
Field of Streams.
That's a good one.
Not kiss and tell, but and then pea brain. Yeah. That's what they did for Matt.
That's mature.
For Matt right. Harvey.
As my laugh was very mature. All right, we'll take a timeout, wrap things up here on the beat. Talk to Brian Noonan here.
He sure is, baby. Right. He was texting the show.
He texted the show earlier.
Yes, Brian Noonan is very much warming up.
He's on my side. I have a fellow WGN employee who was not invited to Bike to Drive.
So he says.